Good morning. How is everybody today? They're okay about the rain. They're not sure yet. Okay. Welcome to Real Life Silver Valley. We're glad to see you. Rain or shine.
That's right.
Go ahead and stand with us as we sing praises to our God.
Let's see here. We're going to do things a little bit different today. So once again,
with us. The best part is my father-in-law, Brian, is preached today. Yeah. And I think, besides Friday, is this your first time preaching? Yes. So he's not nervous at all. And I'm sure each one of you would love to take his place and be in his shoes, right? No. I didn't think so. I have the opportunity to have two different guys in the church help me with what's happening with you. So let's see what's going on in the next couple weeks.
Hey, Chris, just want to remind you that this is the last weekend that we'll have kids with so many coming service. Get out there and get yourself one, and while you're there, pick one for your friends.
In July, when we meet, you're looking at the cost is $75. You can come out here and enjoy this beautiful area.
Next weekend, we've got an absolutely exciting time on the church. The next gen, the high school, middle school kids are going to be hearing all the services, and so come out and support them.
Hey, ladies, on May 13th at 7 p.m. is movie night, only for the ladies. So come on out, get a hold of Christina if you would like to have child care provided.
So a couple things are coming up, as always, if you would like to help or participate in the casting video, I'm always looking for people to help with that. I think with that, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we're thankful. Thank you for that. And if people who are stepping up, standing at us, Christians in our town, we just ask for you to and they would be rejuvenated in this time that they are spending with you. And God, I'm so also very thankful during this time of worship that we get to focus on you, Father. God, during our busy weeks, we get to hit the pause button right now and just say, life can wait and that we can focus on you. So this morning, I pray that that will wake up. So we can say, focus on you.
The hardest part is the room.
can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commanded the dead to wake, we
set my feet upon the rock, and now I know.
And Lord, I just pray that we would come before you this morning and put it all aside and just sit at your feet and enjoy our time with you and just praise your precious, precious name.
Thank you, Garen. Hi. Thank you, Pastor Gene Jacobs and Real Life Ministries, for being a part of Compassion Sunday. Today, churches across the country are joining together to speak out on behalf of the children living in poverty. I want to share a quick video that shows the life of a child living in poverty, as well as the life-changing impact of the Compassion Child Sponsorship. So you can show the video. Sponsorship can make a huge difference in one child's life. I'm reminded that Christina David, the child I sponsor, is living in conditions like this. Christina David lives in Columbia. She is 20 years old. I've been sponsoring her for 12 and a half years. I write to her and she writes me back. It's been such a blessing to get to know her and watch her grow and see how sponsorship is making a difference in her life through education, meals, health care, Bible teaching, and more. Through sponsorship, many kids come to meet Jesus, and those who already know him deepen their faith. Matthew 25:35-36 says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I need clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. This is what Jesus calls us to do. You and I have so much to share, our love, our prayers, our letters. The impact of sponsorship is real in your life and the lives of children in need. If God is calling you to sponsor a child, I encourage you to come to see me at the sponsorship table. There is a child waiting for you. Start your sponsorship experience today. Thank you.
Father, I was just watching, and our congregation is just nodding their heads. Yes, yes, they need help, and I want to step up. I'm thankful for that, Father, but I'm also thankful for Brad's heart and his willingness to step up and help out with preaching your word, Father. So right now, I just pray a blessing upon this one this morning. I ask for you to speak through Brad, to calm him as I know he will, for him to speak clearly, and for us to understand, for our ears and our hearts to be open, God. As always, I am thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all yours.
Morning. Thank you, sir. Good morning, folks. Oh, here we go. That thing's heavy.
Last time I lifted.
I know, right? I came up here expecting it to be here, and it's down there. Don, when you build something, you build it, brother. This thing is stout. Hey, good morning. I'm Brad. I'm one of the elders here. I'm not one of the pastors. I'm going to do my best to wing it today, though. So if you'll follow along with me, I'm going to try to take you on a little journey to talk about something we call suffering. And you know, I did this Friday night. If you were here, don't expect the same sermon because it's not the same. I've always laughed at Pastor Gene because he's consistently telling us, the sermon's never the same. And I've sat back there in the booth and worked the whole weekend, and the sermon's never, ever the same from Friday night to Sunday to even the third service. But God really touched my heart, and he touched some other people's hearts with the message that we're going to share today. And suffering takes lots of different forms. Kids in underdeveloped countries, third world countries, they suffer. And so often it's needless. But it's not just around the world someplace, folks. I mean, there's needs everywhere, including right here, right in our own backyard. A lot of you have stepped up to fill in. I'm not the only one that's stepping up to fill in for Gene and Christy while they're on sabbatical. So many of you have. I walked into the food bank the other day and looked around and saw all the people that were standing in the gap to give them that opportunity. And what's cool about it is none of you really seemed to mind. Everybody was having a good time serving Jesus and reaching out and touching other people. And that need goes on. Would you throw up those pictures that we took of the food room the other day? Folks, Mother Hubbard's cupboard's a little bare. And we could use your help. I mean, I know you support the church financially and in other ways, and we're asking you to support needs like compassion. But we also need to have compassion on our own folks. Friday, we serve 45 families. I say we, the church, serve 45 families, meeting needs for people who couldn't, in many cases, afford to feed themselves. The needs are great, and they need lots of stuff. They need canned fruit, canned vegetables, peanut butter, hamburger helper, meat, eggs, lots of proteiny stuff. Stuff that's fairly easy to cook because we don't know who we're going to see from day to day. 45 families in one day. What you saw in those pictures was week one. We have three to go. And the need is not going to slow down just because we're low. We even had one person, I won't get into specifics except to tell you that when she found out that the need was great and that the cupboards or that the pantry was a little bare, she was one of the people standing there needing to come see us. And she said, you know what? I don't need it that bad. If I have to, I'll come back another time and see how you're doing. Because I do have other resources, but I love coming here. And it's not so much that coming here is to get the food. It's the loving on. When people are doing their best to serve God, it's a beautiful thing. It really truly is. Folks, we're going to be preaching from several different aspects this morning and different parts of the Bible, but mostly Romans. We're following along that Romans road still. And I got to read in the got a little echo going on up here. I don't know. Maybe you can just crank me down or something a little bit. I got to read in the scripture that Gene asked us to cover this week to try to stay in series, and it's Romans 8, 18 through 28. And I got to reading it, and it occurred to me that it's about suffering. Now, I read that, and there are probably, good grief, there are probably 10 different sermons you could pull out of that 10 verses. At least. In fact, I was trying to do some research and I was trying to cheat. I was trying to listen to other pastors do their thing and preach on that particular topic. And that particular topic is a whole bunch of topics. So the one I landed on today, because I couldn't get away from it, because when I was praying about it, the Holy Spirit laid it on me. This is about suffering. So what I want to talk to you today about is suffering and how we handle it. And so before I do, get out your Bibles or your Bible apps, if you would, please, and read along with me 18 through 28. Yet we suffer now, for nothing is compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against his will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we as believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children. Including the new bodies he has promised us, we're given this hope that we can be saved. If we already have something but don't need it or need to hope for it, but if we look forward to something that we don't have yet, we must wait confidently. And this is one of the most important parts of this scripture, folks. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our own weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. And have you ever experienced that? When all you know is you're crying out and you don't know what to pray for. But we kind of depend on something that God's given us, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You'll notice if you're trying to follow along with the sermon notes that I switched, and I should have mentioned that before. Initially, I wanted to go with the ESV because I thought that that was going to be the easiest to understand. But after presenting this message on Friday night and looking at some of the blank looks in the room and then reading it again myself this morning in NLT, I thought, man, do I need to switch? And it really does make a huge difference. So bear with me if you're trying to look at an ESV version or in the sermon notes, that's the difference. But I'm hoping that it really does make a difference for you. Folks, let's pray for the word. Dear God, we're so grateful for the opportunity to serve you today. I'm grateful for every person in this church that's stepping up, God, and I'm praying that you'll help this word cement those needs. Father, help us to put suffering into perspective. There really is gain through the pain, and we so much want to serve you as you would have us. So God, bless the word and help me to deliver the message that you want me to deliver. Open the hearts and minds, God, even if I don't say it. I'm praying that you and the Holy Spirit do. I ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Folks, how we deal with suffering says an awful lot about who we are. And last week, Gene went back and he wrapped up his sermon by talking about adoption, who we are. When it comes to our relationship with God, he goes back to 8:14, and he wrapped up his sermon by focusing on, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. That's important. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted us as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we're his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yikes. That makes you want to just jump right up and be a Christian, doesn't it? Gotta suffer. Gotta suffer if you want to be a Christian, right? Here's a little thought. We're going to suffer as his kids. We are going to suffer. We'll be mocked for our beliefs. But, you know, people around the world are killed for their beliefs on a fairly regular basis. The news is full of it. You see it all the time. It's important that we put that in perspective. I mean, what is suffering anyway? Your idea and my idea of suffering are probably two real different things. Something that I might actually enjoy, you may consider suffering. Listening to me deliver a sermon may be suffering in your hearts, and I would not blame you if you were. But I'm not suffering doing it. This is a lot of fun. Okay, it's a little scary, but it's okay. But we don't suffer around here, do we, really? I mean, is there really suffering in our country as compared to other countries? Sometimes I feel guilty thinking that I'm suffering, don't you? When I saw that video the first time on Friday night of those kids, I'm like, oh, all right, I'm not suffering. But I got to preach about suffering, so how am I going to do that? We lead a pretty sheltered existence, especially in the United States. We are spoiled rotten. And it's getting worse all the time. Do you remember the election in November? People were crying and they were running. And I'm not getting political, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not getting political. But it was that the way that people were dealing with an election, for crying out loud. We're going to have another one in 4 years. Don't let it ruin your year. Don't let it ruin your life. But we were looking for safe places and safety pins and teddy bears. Come on. Really? Are we suffering? Some people think they're suffering if they don't get an award for participation in some sport. I mean, really, when you think about it, we got to put that in perspective, folks. We don't suffer. Some people think they're suffering if they don't have the latest iPhone. If that's your perspective on suffering, we got some work to do, folks. We really, truly do. And you know, God was really working on me in this because I'm guilty of this too. Every one of us are guilty of this because we don't truly understand suffering. Not the way Christ suffered. We don't understand how Christ suffered. There's no way we can. He not only suffered physical pain, he suffered anguish and being left alone. He went through what he went through knowing what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen, and he still walked through it. When we suffer, we're always hoping and praying for some kind of restoration, some kind of relief from that suffering. He couldn't do that. Yet to fulfill his Father's will, he did it. We can't comprehend that. But we do suffer. If you're a Christian, Bible specific, you're going to suffer. But there's a reward for the suffering if we look in the right place. A real good friend of mine and I were talking about a situation not too long ago where we were both aware that somebody was going through a situation we knew they were going to suffer. And it was difficult. And we were trying to figure out what we could do to soften the impact a little bit. And there really wasn't anything that we could do. And we were kind of lamenting about it. And he said, Brad, the suffering isn't the important part. The important part is what that person does with that suffering. Do they apply it? Do they make themselves better? Do they seek God? Do they seek his word? Do they seek his will? This person did, and it's pretty cool to watch. But there is something in that suffering. Why we suffer and getting a handle on that is almost impossible for us as humans. It really, truly is. Sometimes we'll never see that suffering. We'll never see the reason for that suffering until we meet him. You just won't know. Here's the really interesting part. We suffer all the time. And we suffer for all sorts of different reasons. You think about it. Have you ever done something to yourself that you suffered for? Have you ever made a choice that you knew was going to potentially result in suffering, but you did it anyway? Everybody in this room ought to be raising their hands because we've all done it. Okay, even as a child, if you tell a child, don't touch that stove, you're going to get burnt. What does a child do? Touches the stove. Why? Because they have to prove the theory or disprove it. But it's even worse than that, folks. I mean, we suffer for all kinds of reasons. We make decisions to suffer. That pair of pants that I decided after 4 years of not wearing them, I was going to get into them because they were the best pair of pants that I had, and I really wanted to look good for a special occasion. Here's an interesting thing about 4 years as an adult. Things shift. It was not pretty. And I knew I was going to suffer, but I just let the shirt hang out and everything was great. Nobody could see that I was like suffering inside. That was my decision to suffer. We do it all the time. Ladies, you decide to suffer quite often for something that I could never do. Getting your ear pierced. I mean, think about that. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. That's got to hurt. But it's a matter of pride sometimes. You got to get that shiny little piece of something in your ear, right? We make that decision to suffer. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying that we do that. Sometimes we suffer because we're simply too stubborn to realize what God's trying to do. Sometimes we suffer because we think that we know more than someone else who did something, so we're going to try it our way. Folks, there isn't anything that you have tried that someone else in history hasn't tried and suffered for. Trust me when I tell you. We're willing to suffer for our own stuff, and we do. Are you willing to suffer for what God wants you to do? That's a little bit more difficult. Why? Because it's a little ambiguous. That was one of those $5 words I wasn't going to use today. But it's kind of out there. You really can't touch it. You can't see it. You can't understand what that means. What does suffering really mean? And God allows us to suffer. I'm going to deliver part of my message today is from the book of Facebook. A meme that I saw yesterday that I thought was really appropriate, and they don't have it to put on the screen, but I'm going to read it to you. And it's a picture of a pot on a pot of water on this fire. And did you see it? Somebody see that? The same boiling water that softens the potato hardens the egg. It's about what you're made of, not the circumstances. I can't quote you that scripture, but it's in there. It really is about what you're made of. What do you do with suffering? We make choices all the time. We choose to break the law. We choose to speed. And, okay, I'm a former cop, so that kind of means something to me. But and I look at it from both perspectives, because the guy that hired me into law enforcement was also the same guy that wrote me my first 3 speeding tickets as a kid. And he knew that when he said, okay, I'll hire you. I think it was payback time. But what do you think when you get caught doing that thing and you look in the rearview mirror and the little pretty lights are going blue, blue, blue back there? What's the first thought that comes to your mind? Huh? I'm late for church? Yeah, that never works. That's not a good excuse. But what do you think? I mean, what's the emotional reaction when someone turns on those top lights? Ugh. I can't believe he's doing this to me. Right? And cops know that. They know that when they turn those lights on that you are about to ruin their day. But they've got a job to do. And sometimes we're like, oh, he's just picking on me. Can't you go eat a donut and drink a cup of coffee or something productive? Why do you have to mess with my day? But you made that choice. You made that choice to suffer. And we go through that entire contact, even if the guy is being so pleasant, it's not funny. We go through that entire contact with that guy thinking, all the time he's giving us a driving award, we're thinking, I can't believe he has to do this to me. Did you ever stop to think about that suffering that you were in right there? Do you think it's possible that you got put in that suffering situation for a reason? Now, the suffering isn't taking place at that moment unless you're looking at your watch going, I'm late for church or the football game. The suffering is in, okay, this is going to cost me money. I'm going to have to take time off. My insurance rates are going to go up. I just can't believe this. But if you're honest with yourself, you made that choice. And now you're suffering the consequences. But we get so wrapped up in that that we forget about all the other stuff that's going on out there. How do you know that the reason the guy was so adamant about writing you that citation for speeding, how do you know that that isn't prompted by some tragedy in his life that he's suffering over? How do you know that he didn't just finish handing a limp, lifeless child to a mother because someone was speeding? What are the opportunities there? Can you, instead of reacting like we want to in ourselves, is there a way to react to that differently? What are the needs on the other side of the coin? And I'm not preaching about why you ought to be nice to cops, although I think you should. I'm a little prejudiced. What I'm really talking to you about is, did God put you in that situation at that point in time, while you're suffering, to reach out to somebody else? How do you know what's going on in that cop's heart? Or anybody else that's suffering for that matter. We see people suffering all the time, and we don't take an opportunity to do something positive with that. Because sometimes we're in the middle of suffering too. God uses suffering, and sometimes it's not of his doing, it's of ours. God uses suffering as a tool. He exposes our weaknesses to us through suffering. You know what your weakness is when you're in the midst of suffering. It's hard to identify it sometimes because it's a tough one, because we're so wrapped up in our agony of suffering that we don't pay attention. And quite honestly, the world might be convincing us that we're suffering. Sometimes we don't even know we're suffering. God will use that suffering, though, to his advantage if you will let him, if you will listen to him. And you can probably think back on situations where you've learned something through suffering, and I can tell you lots of examples of how I've seen that happen. But Satan loves to use suffering as to confuse us. He loves to try to get us in a place where we can't put suffering in perspective, because he convinces us oftentimes that the suffering is our fault, or that God may not love us enough to keep us out of that suffering. Folks, suffering is for a reason. There's almost always some good reason for that suffering. He allows us to suffer sometimes to enlighten us to more knowledge in some area. You might know the name Charles Spurgeon. He's a Baptist preacher from the 1800s. They called him the Prince of Preachers because he was ahead of his time. And one of the quotes that I pulled from this is that men never become great until they become great in suffering. Why? Because you don't learn what this suffering means to other people until you've been there yourself. When I think about it, it really does make sense. Influential people from the Bible. Who do you think of when you think about influential people from the Bible? Paul, he's a good one, right? Why do you remember Paul? Okay, he penned way too many books of the Bible, right? Why do you remember him? One of the reasons you remember him is because of his suffering. He suffered to serve Christ. He suffered to follow Christ, and he suffered to continue to serve him after Christ was put on the cross. You remember Moses? What do you remember about Moses? Did some good stuff, did some great stuff, but he suffered for each and everything that he did. You remember Jesus for his suffering. And you not only remember him, but you love him. God allows us to suffer sometimes to simply educate us, to help us understand the consequences of what we're doing. There is a consequence for drinking too much. It's called a hangover. That's an education process. 1 Peter 5:10. In kindness, God has called you to share his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore and support you and strengthen you. He will place you on a firm foundation. He says that because there's a need to suffer a little bit so you can get a handle on what it is he's trying to teach you. When Pastor Gene accepted our request for him to take a sabbatical and not pay so much attention to us and pay a little bit of attention to himself and his family, because he was suffering, we could see it, but it was hard for him to see it. Nobody likes to admit that you're suffering, but he did. We started trying to figure out who in the world is going to take care of all this stuff. And we just figured, he's going to get a month off. We'll let him arrange all the folks that are going to preach the sermons, right? I mean, come on. He should be able to do that better than we could as elders. So we turned him loose, and he worked on it, and he started making phone calls. And after a couple of weeks, he came back to the elders, and he said, "Well, I've got some good news. I have two visiting pastors are going to come over from the big church in Post Falls, and they're going to preach two sermons, two weekends. The third weekend and the last weekend that I'm gone." That wasn't sounding good. Then he said, "I've got more good news. The kids are going to step up, and we're going to do another Next Gen weekend." Yes! Wait a minute. Do the math. They're gone for four weekends. One, two. Ruh-roh. That leaves one weekend. So we're all sitting around the table in the conference room back here in an elder meeting, and Gene looks around the table, and he said, "Okay, who's going to do it? Who's going to step up?" Now, you have to understand that Gene's been after all of us to preach from time to time, and I'm one of the only guys that's going, "Not me. You don't want me up there. I'm not a Bible scholar. I can't jump around on the stage and be active and exciting and keep everybody awake and make them giggle. Much less try to teach them something." And by the way, this is kind of serious. But Gene always said, "You know, hey, you don't have to do it by yourself. We'll break you in. Well, get somebody to go team preach with you. I'll team preach with you. And you know, it's funny. Every single time he wanted to do that, I had something else going on. Can't figure out how that happened, but it just happened. Well, I looked around the room. Nobody was saying anything. And Gene's head finally turned over and looked at me. And God was pushing and Holy Spirit was pulling. And I raised my hand and immediately regretted what I had done. What was I thinking? What in the world gave me the right to try to stand up and share a message with all you folks? Some of you folks could preach me under the table. No problem. But God was pulling and the Holy Spirit was pushing. I started to pray. I started trying to figure out what's going on here, God. What do you have in mind? What do you want me to do? I need your help. And I didn't realize it, but things were changing in my life a little bit at that point. And Pastor Gene called me a few days later and he said, "Hey, buddy, how you doing?" You know how Gene does. Yeah? Greets you. Every time he sees you, "How you doing?" Shakes your hand. And then he looks at you in the eye and goes, "No, really, how you doing?" Well, that was this phone call. Same thing. "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm doing great. How about you?" Which is always the response, right? Right up to the point where he said, "No, really, how are you doing?" And I said, "I think I'm okay. Do you know something I don't know?" You're starting to make me nervous here, buddy. And he said, "No, I just know. Well, I get, maybe I do know something you don't know. I know that you said yes. I know that Satan doesn't want you to win this. He wants you to think you can't do this. He wants you to think that you're not smart enough to do this. And trust me, in me, I'm not. But in him, we can do just about anything, can't we? If we really think about it." So I said, "Okay, God, I'm with you. I'll keep unplugging." And then I got to thinking, you know what? Satan was not working against me for what I was doing here or in what I was doing. Because the research and that kind of stuff was kind of going pretty easy. And my lovely wife, who has a PhD, which I couldn't spell that not too long ago, but now I can, now that I married one. But she was helping me and she was feeding me things. And I was listening to sermons on the internet and getting good help from other pastors. But I got to thinking about it. I wasn't making any progress. And I realized why. Everything else in my life was going upside down. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't even know that I was suffering until I started thinking about it. Work was going sideways. Family was going sideways. Everything I touched was going sideways. And it wasn't until I realized that, and it was through Gene's prompting, that I came back and said, "Okay, God, I can't do this in me. I got to do this in you." And I said, "I need your help." And as soon as I got on my knees and started focusing on the things that I really needed to focus on, he started taking care of things. I was in "we can handle it" mode. You know the Union Pacific Railroad, their motto, we can handle it? What was the mode I was in. I wasn't looking where I needed to look to get the help I needed. But we all do that, don't we? We all get caught up in that. It's so easy to get wrapped up in your problem that you can't see the answer. And that happened to me. It wasn't until somebody else who had been there, done that, called me on the carpet about it and said, "How are you doing?" Folks, think about this. Who makes the best drug and alcohol addiction counselors? People who had been there and done that. And how did they get to the point where they are able to do that? God had somebody reaching down to pick them up and pull them up. Someone who had been there and done that. Family counselors the same way. The ones who are the best and the most empathetic are the ones that have been there and done that. And survived and learned something about the process. Learned something about the help, where it comes from. Learned that they can't do it in themselves, but that there is a source of power. There is a source of help. God doesn't waste suffering. But have you ever blamed God for your suffering? It's way too easy to do, folks. I talk to missionaries all the time. Missionaries. People who have committed themselves to serving God, to reaching people that don't know him. And when they start to get into suffering, what do? They start blaming God. We're no different. You know, we pray whenever we have one of these incidents, and we ask God to deliver us from the problem. And sometimes, what is it Gene says? There's three answers to prayer, right? Yes, no, and not now. And in the yes, it's because you're praying for something that's in his will and in his time, and he wants you to have it, and he wants you to get it now. And in some places, it's no, because he knows something that you don't know. And sometimes it's not now, because we need to learn something. Things aren't exactly where he wants us to be. Folks, the secret with suffering and dealing with it is that, number one, we put it in perspective. Satan wants us to think that the suffering is without reason, that the suffering is just unfair, and that's what he tries to convince us of. And sometimes he'll try to convince us that the reason we're suffering is because we're not worthy of God's love and his protection and his guidance. Nothing could be further from the truth. Way too often, the suffering is in the way we respond. A good friend of mine, another elder, went through some suffering a little while ago. Had a heart attack. And the suffering was great. Thankfully, he'll tell you, he doesn't remember half of what happened. But people around him did. And what happened was, Larry, in the hospital and through the whole process, I look back on all of the fantastic things that happened through Larry's suffering. Sorry, buddy, but it was for a reason. I look back on all the fantastic things that happened because of his suffering. He had a heart attack. Not only is he going to live longer, but he got a new appreciation for life and for his relationship with Christ, and he'll tell you that. But I look around at all the other people and all the other things that came together. The family that responded, and the restoration that took place through that incident, that Larry was able to reach out and restore his relationship with others. I look at what it did to bring people from this church together and how people jumped in, and I've seen it happen hundreds of times here. That's what I love about this church. None of you are afraid to jump in and help somebody else that's having a struggle. None of you are afraid to be honest. Sometimes, maybe we are a little bit afraid to be honest sometimes, because sometimes I think we could do a little bit better job of being honest with folks and letting them know that there's a reason and we can see it and they can't. Sometimes we're so deep in our suffering that all we can do is cry out, folks. And when that happens, that's when the Holy Spirit jumps in, if we'll let him. And he intercedes on our behalf. And he will pray what we don't know how to pray. He will intervene. Why does Christ want a relationship with you? He wants a relationship with each and every person in this room. It was hard to comprehend why sometimes. Folks, the main point to this message is pretty simple. The Holy Spirit is there as an advocate, and there is nothing you can do, no sin that you can have on your plate that you're packing around that he can't and won't forgive you for. It's impossible. You cannot do it. Satan will try to convince you that your suffering is because you did something wrong and God doesn't want to pull you out. But the reality of it is that's nothing farther from the truth. The only thing is, you have to be ready to ask for it. We ask for it every week in our communion. We have an open table here for communion at Real Life Ministries. And we take it every week. Every time we get together, we celebrate communion. And we do it for a reason, because there's no such thing as a sin that God won't forgive you of. And there's no such thing as a situation he won't pull you through, but you have to ask for help first. You have to let him help. You have to invite him in to want to help. Because he does, but he's the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to push himself where you don't want him. You can't get that relationship with the Holy Spirit without having invited Christ into your life. It's not feasible. The Bible says so pretty clearly. So while the servers pass out the elements, I'd like you to take a few minutes. And if you don't know Christ, if you have not accepted him into your life, or if you have some sin that's out there that you think is that sin that he can't deliver you from, think again. Go to God in prayer. Ask Christ to forgive you. And after you've done that, feel free to take communion with us. Let's pray. Go ahead and go to the Lord. So there's hope in the suffering. Christ proved it to us in his suffering. On the night that Jesus was betrayed by one of his own, the night that he was betrayed, he was getting ready to celebrate the Passover meal with his disciples. And as they sat together in the upper room, and in his mind, you have to understand Christ's mind in this moment. He knew the person that was going to betray him. And he knew where he was going. He knew what this was going to be led to, but he was steadfast in his Father's will. I can't imagine the suffering. But he invites us into that. And he invites us to remember his suffering and what the suffering brings. And that is that promise that we have. So what he did was he passed around bread to all his disciples and broke it and made sure that everybody had a piece of bread. And he said, you know, this represents my body that I'm going to give for you. Whenever you partake of this, do so in remembrance of me. Let's remember Jesus' body together. And then he took the cup and he shared it with his disciples and he said, this cup represents my blood that's going to be shed for you and for everybody that comes behind you. He shed this blood for us. So whenever you do it, whenever you take of it, do so in remembrance of me. Let's remember the blood of Jesus together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we have the chance to be with you today, to meet you, for you to come and meet us where we're at. Lord, we're grateful for the promises, and we're grateful for the healing. We're grateful for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to put this in perspective and to be reassured that there is gain through the pain. We love you so much, Jesus. We thank you and praise you. And I pray that you touch each and every heart here today. Lord, if someone is here that is struggling, I pray that you would gently coax them to make that decision to walk with you. Or if they've just become strayed, Lord, bring them back into the path. Help them through that suffering. We love you, Jesus, and thank you. And pray these things in your name. Amen. We're getting ready to sing one last song, and I invite you to sing it with us, but I want to read you a little bit of it. I couldn't have picked this, couldn't have better, done a better job of picking this song if I'd have tried. In fact, I called Sherry and I said, "Hey, any chance I could make a suggestion about the last song?" And she said, "Well, let me read you the songs." This is a newer song, but it's so right on the money. It's called "Oh, Come to the Altar." Verse one is, "Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you ever come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling." And the answer is really pretty simple. "Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." They couldn't have picked a better song. Folks, there's going to be a couple couples up here that would like to pray with you about anything that's on your hearts. Please, if you need to get right with God today, do not leave this place. If you feel Him tugging on you, don't leave this place. You have an opportunity here. Don't waste it. Don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. Nobody's going to pay attention, but there are people here that are safe that want to pray with you.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Thanks, ladies. Thanks, big guy. Folks, thank you for being here today. Thanks for listening. Just remember, you're not alone. There's power in Christ. There's power in that relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to suffer alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity again today. Thank you for all the hands that served here today. Thank you for the voices. Thank you for the souls that are here today. And God, I just pray again that you'd reach out, that you continue to talk to people about suffering and their part in it. Pray that you'd keep your hand on everyone today. Help them have a great day in you. Thank you for the liquid sunshine, Lord. Thank you for what it brings. In your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Have a great weekend or week, folks. Love you.